Good morning. It's good to be with you all today. We look today, continuing in our Songs of Christmas series. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offspring of the favored one. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that men no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. You can't help but wonder of the celebration that came that first Christmas night on the hills of Bethlehem. The Son of God had entered into the world, and for shepherds out just watching their sheep at night, the greatest concert probably ever performed was there before them. Angels singing, glory to the newborn King. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20 gives us a picture into what was going on that night. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Isn't that a great message? I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that had happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her hearts. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. As the shepherds hurried off from the manger scene, as Mary pondered all of the happenings of the last 9 months of that night, as she pondered those things in her heart, as Joseph stood at his baby's side, as wise men traveled from afar, could any of them fully comprehend what had happened that night? Really, did anyone around the Christmas story know what they had just witnessed? For the shepherds, if not for the angelic host singing, It may have just seemed like another baby. Why would the angels tell him about the birth of a child? I mean, could he really be that special? He was born in a manger, after all. The wise men would travel following a star, but to find a toddler. Just like any other toddler. Mary and Joseph probably thought that their baby was beautiful, but don't all parents? A husband comforted his wife that night, knowing that this child, the child that wasn't his own, the child that he accepted in, understood that that baby would change the world. Without the background of a baby announced by angels, promised by God, without the knowledge of what he would later do, or who this baby really was, the Christmas story seems incomplete. It seems like any other birthday celebration. Hark, the Herald Angels Sing was written in 1739 by Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley wrote 8,000 hymns over the course of his life. His focus was to write hymns that taught children truth. Most importantly, he was writing to teach them the truth about God. In this time, Wesley wrote these songs because many of the children that would hear them and would sing them had no idea how to read or write. But how much could a song teach them? He would write down truths. He would write down scripture into the hymns that he wrote. And something that was written into his songs and something that he showed through the lyrics that he wrote was that he believed that to have good doxology, you need good theology. And before you go to sleep on those big words, all of that means is in order to truly praise God, we need to know God. And so he wrote these lyrics with truth into them, with theology into them, truth about who God is, so that the people singing them could know the God that they were singing about. Do you think about that when you sing the Christmas carols? So what does Charles, in the song Hark the Herald Angels Sing, lay out for us? It's not only the event of Christ's birth, but what Jesus' life would bring. It's an invitation to know Jesus as well as to praise him. So it starts with the word hark. Hark isn't a word that we use very often. Do me a favor, if you've used hark the last week, raise your hand. Okay, so what hark is, listen in, lean in. Lean into the message. It says, hark, the herald angels sing. Listen to the message that the angels are bringing that night. That's why we read through the message that they said, for unto you a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. They will introduce Christ as the Messiah. And it would take years for the world to know what it meant that Jesus would be the Messiah. Mistaken identity and misinterpreted prophecy brought many to think that the Messiah promised long ago would be a military leader. That he would bring Israel back to political and national power. That he'd be taking them out of Roman rule and into their political and national freedom. But Jesus' message was of peace and mercy. He was a king, but not of this world. Glory to the newborn king. Instead of an uproar, he brought peace on earth. Instead of vengeance, he retaliated with mercy mild. This Messiah would bring God and sinner reconciled. Let's pause there for just a minute. The Messiah had come to bring peace, to bring mercy, to bring reconciliation. Another word that, if we had us all raise our hands for how many of us have used that this week, might have about the same response. It's what Jesus, the Messiah, and the Savior conveyed into the world. It was by him that we have been brought back into a reconciled relationship with God. What we are being shown in this gospel is the gospel message that because of Jesus, because of his death and resurrection, reconciliation was able to happen. Meaning that the conflict that we put ourselves in with God through our sin that each of us has committed, that conflict has been brought to peace. And so, joyful all ye nations rise. It is a great message that we have been reconciled with our God and our Creator. It's a great message that we are able to have a relationship with the God who loves us so much to send his Son for us so that we can have eternal life with him. And so it's a joyful message that we spread out. And we get to spread it out into all nations, to all people. The message of redemption from sin isn't just for the Jews. It wasn't for just those in the region. It's for the world. Even up through the time of the early church, people thought that this good news message was just for a select group of people, for some elite. And that's why Paul has to write later on, "So in Jesus you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus." So all nations can celebrate this gift of a Savior. It doesn't matter your nationality, it doesn't matter your race, your social status, your gender, how much or how little you know. It's about Jesus. It's about a Messiah announced to a group of shepherds out in the field. When you are in Christ, you're not defined by the things that the world defines you by. You're defined by him and found in his name. So now we join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts we proclaim Christ is born in Bethlehem. We're challenged to be those who share the message of who Jesus is. To give people a glimpse of what it means to know God. To know the Savior, to know the Messiah. If you know it, go tell it. So question becomes, do we know who Jesus is? Do we know who Jesus is? Because like we said earlier, in order to praise God, in order to tell others about who Jesus is, we have to know Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 calls us to look to the Messiah that would come, saying, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And you see, the next thing that this carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, the next thing that it does is it goes through and it talks about all these different names, all these different titles, who Jesus would be. And something that can just get lost as we sing through the lyrics. But I think it's important to look through and see who Jesus was and who he is. From the beginning, it points to the fact that Christ was the newborn king. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is defending the message that they are proclaiming. The way the Holy Spirit has infected them, and one of the things that Peter points to in his proclamation is that Jesus Christ is king. He says, "Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David," he uses David, because David was the pinnacle of Israel's royal line. It had been told for a long time that the new Messiah would be a new David. He says, "David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has risen this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God." You see, God has put Christ on the throne next to him, is what he's saying. Jesus is there ruling. Says he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. The reason why they're proclaiming, the reason why they're joining those angelic hosts by shouting out the name of Jesus is that they knew Jesus. They knew he was the king. But they knew also that he was the Christ. Just a little inside information for you. We say Jesus Christ. Christ is not the last name. Just wanna iron that out. Christ, his last name, it's not like Myron Ayersman. It's not Jesus Christ. I mean, Ayersman, that's just about that same title. Right? No, okay, sorry. No, that's heresy. Erase that. Christ is this title of the one that's anointed. The one that is promised. Christ was the title given to the Messiah. The Son of God. It's the title that Peter proclaims in Matthew 16:16 that when Jesus is asking, "Who do people say that I am?" He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That blows people away. That made the religious leaders of the time go insane. For someone to be called the Christ. But we know the truth that throughout Scripture, throughout the time that we see Jesus, throughout the fact that he's given himself as a sacrifice and he's raised from the dead, we see that he truly was who he said he was. He is the Christ. The next title we see is that Jesus will be the everlasting Lord. Jesus not only was Lord, he is still Lord today. Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 8 says this: Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. When the angel Gabriel comes to Mary to announce the arrival of Jesus, it says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Do you believe that Jesus is king? Do you believe that Jesus was king? Do you believe that Jesus will be king forever? So are we treating Christ as king of our lives? Are we still honoring him, proclaiming his name? Are we recognizing Jesus as who he is, both as our king and, as Wesley tells in the second verse, are we honoring him as part of the Godhead? Throughout Scripture, we're reminded that God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Worship the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. That was something that was repeated daily by the Jews, by God's chosen people. It was something they were reminded of time and time again. And it's part of why they were so shocked when Jesus was proclaimed as Christ. But we see throughout that Jesus is not a different God, but Jesus is God. The Trinity is not something that's named throughout Scripture, but we see throughout Scripture that God is represented in three parts: the Father, Jesus the Son, and God's Holy Spirit. Going back to Acts chapter 2, in Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, he mentions those three parts of one God. He speaks of God the Father, who is accredited and who has accredited and appointed Jesus the Son, who has brought with him the gift of God's Holy Spirit. The three parts. And part of that incorporates who he is the next title that's given. That Christ is incarnate deity. And that's what Christmas is all about. Incarnate deity. The fact that the God of the universe, the deity, God, a divine being, is incarnate, is made human. The fullness of God in man. Don't make any mistake. Jesus was fully God. And he was also fully man. 100% plus 100%. Together. Mathematicians, engineers, I know. We serve a God that's beyond I don't know. And we see through Jesus' life, through his actions, through his miracles, through all that he's done, through his love, that he truly is fully God and fully man, incarnate deity. He is Emmanuel. He literally is God with us. In that sentence of incarnate deity, of fully God, fully man, God, the same God who spoke the stars into existence, chose to live among people. And he did not just live among people, he became fully man. He got hungry, he got thirsty, he's tired, he laughed, he cried. He knew what it meant to feel hurt, abandoned, and betrayed. He knew what it was like to be left alone. He knew what it meant to be busy, to be stressed out. And yet he was fully God, and he knew that there was something greater than it all. Jesus felt all of the things that we feel. Jesus knew the things that we know. All of this wrapped up in a manger, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is a title in and of itself. If you go back to what Jesus means, it means simply the Lord saves. Exactly what he came to do. Not only his namesake, but his mission was to save. To bring the saving that could only come from the Lord, he saved this world from the sin that it had found itself in. He saved us from the sin we had found ourselves in. It saved me from the sin I have found myself in. And it saves you from the sin that you find yourself in when we are clothed with Jesus Christ. What he did when he saved us brings us to the fact that he is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the one that brought peace to a world that was utterly vicious to the God that created it. We still see today that there are wars waged, and even in his day, Jesus knew that there would continue to be brother fighting against brother, nation fighting against nation. But Jesus brought a peace that no crossfire has ever accomplished. Jesus brought the true peace that our sins are no longer our mark. White flag of surrender that is being washed in Jesus Christ in baptism with him. When we join with his death and resurrection, we are found in Jesus, who brings us to peace with the Father, that we might be called the sons and daughters of God. We can join Jesus, who is the Son of Righteousness. To be righteous is to be right with God. Jesus was perfect. He was the Lamb of God without blemish or fault. He lived this life without sin. He lived in a perfect right relationship with God that we only dream of when we get to heaven. And the Son of God, as it says in Colossians, was the firstborn of the new creation, found in his sacrifice that we can now be in a right relationship with God our Father as well. The last thing that it points to is that Jesus was light and life. John chapter 1 tells the Christmas story in a unique way. In John 1 verses 1 through 5 it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. And to this day, the darkness cannot overcome it. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that men no more may die. Born to raise the Son of Earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to you, the newborn King. Will you stand with me as we pray this morning? God, we